Our New Testament lesson comes to us today from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, you'll find that on page 111 in the back half of that Bible. Hear now these words. When the day of Pentecost had come, all the believers were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard the disciples speaking in the native language of each. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We hear. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, inspire us by your true and living Spirit, that we may know more of what it means to be your children, and that we may faithfully respond to the call of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one in whose name we have gathered, and the one in whose name we pray. Amen. A clergy friend of mine from Texas tells the story of when he was a licensed student pastor while going to seminary. He was serving a very small congregation. There was about 15 people that attended, but they were regular. They were there almost every week. But at the same time, they seldom had any guests. But one communion Sunday, one of the members brought her young grandson with her. Now, he was just a little bit fidgety, but did pretty good in the service. When it came time for communion, they did what was their custom. They all came and they stood in a circle up near the front of the sanctuary. The pastor stood in the middle. Now, this church is one of those that use the little crackers. Anybody had the crackers before? And so, my friend, he went around the body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. He got to the little boy. He said something appropriate for the little boy. The body of Christ, broken for you, and on and on. Then it came time for the cup. And this church used those little cups of juice. Anybody ever use those? So, again, he went around the circle. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. He said something appropriate for a little boy. And the little boy took that cup and he threw it back. He wiped his face. He said, "Hit me with another." It's as if he knew that we need more and more of God, of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But before we focus on that some more, I want to give a full confession that the Psalm 139 that Carrie read to you earlier is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. I love the idea that I can never, ever escape from the presence of God's Spirit. No matter how high, no matter how low I go, God's Spirit's going to be there. No matter how far away I go, God's Spirit's going to be there. I can go to heaven, and of course I would find the Spirit there, but I can even go and find myself in the midst of death, and there the Spirit is as well. I find that comforting to know that the Spirit is always there ready to guide and to comfort and to empower and even to intercede on my behalf. But beyond being comforting, this understanding that the Spirit is everywhere is foundational to my theology. God's Spirit, God's presence is everywhere, and what a gift. But notice that the Spirit was present and available to this psalmist long before New Testament times. In fact, we read that the Spirit was present and active in creation. The Old Testament affirms the presence of the Spirit in many places throughout the Old Testament. That Spirit that is ever present, that Spirit that we cannot ever escape. But so often this notion that the Spirit is everywhere is not really how we speak of the Spirit, is it? It's been almost 20 years ago now, but I was volunteering with youth at the church where I would finally answer my call to ministry. The youth director at the time was David. He would prove to be an important mentor for me through the years. And he had decided on this one particular Sunday, when it was a holiday weekend, we knew attendance was going to be low, that part of the programming was going to be we were going to jump into the church vans, we were going to drive down to the Sonic, and we were going to partake in some sinfully delicious treats. And I remember standing there, cup in hand, sucking on the end of that straw with the frozen treat inside. And one of the youth came up and was talking to me and David. And the youth, Daniel, he said, "You know, I just visited a church the other day, and man, let me tell you what, the Holy Spirit was not in that place." Well, David, the youth director, he didn't skip a beat. He just mildly responded, "Oh, really? How do you know the Spirit wasn't there?" Well, a perplexed look spread across Daniel's face as if he thought David should know the answer. And he responded in a somewhat defensive tone, "Well, because I couldn't feel it." Again, David gently challenged him. "So do you think that the presence of the Spirit depends on your ability to feel it? That if you can't feel the Spirit, that the Spirit's not there?" "Well, I guess not." Daniel seemed to want to support his earlier claim, but he didn't know how to do so. So David continued, "Did you know Psalm 139 says that there's literally no place that we can go to escape God's Spirit?" Now, back then, I carried this Bible in my back pocket, and all the youth called it my butt Bible. So I whipped out my butt Bible because I wasn't sure I believed David either. So I'm thumbing through to Psalm 139 and heard those words that Carrie read. Now, David did share some other Bible verses that day, but that's the one that has stuck with me all these years. It's been a gift to both me and Daniel, who I've become good friends with as he's grown into adulthood, and the way we understand God and the workings of the Holy Spirit. It was like I'd been hit over the head with the proverbial 2x4 of faith, where I finally said, "Well, duh, now I get it." God's Spirit is always present with us, but sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't even feel that ever-abiding Spirit. So without a doubt, I believe the Holy Spirit is everywhere, but I'm also intrigued to consider that Christian tradition and experience, not to mention the tradition and experience of other religions, tell us that there are certain places where we can experience the Spirit in a more palpable way. Celtic Christianity of the British Isles, a form of Christianity that particularly flourished in the 5th century, called these special places thin places. Places where our visible physical world more easily intersects the sacred, the holy, the world of the Spirit. These thin places have a way of heightening our senses to this other reality. Even within Celtic Christianity, you may have heard of the island of Iona off the coast of Scotland. For them, that is a thin place. Our own Bible, Native American traditions hold that certain mountains and high places are also sacred places in this way, where the Spirit is more readily embraced. The disciples in our story today from Acts are certainly in a thin place. They're in Jerusalem, a place that three of the world's major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all maintain that God as Spirit can still be known in meaningful ways. And it is there, in that thin place called Jerusalem, where the disciples have the experience of being hit by that proverbial 2x4 of faith as the ever-present Spirit blew and danced on their heads, empowering them to communicate with people who were there from all over. But if you notice closely in the story, lots of people were there in that thin place. And even though the story in Acts notes that many people saw the results of the Holy Spirit, they themselves did not experience that ever-present Spirit in the same way. Why is that? Could be that sometimes a place that is A thin place for me may not be a thin place for you. That's valid. That makes sense. But it may be that they hadn't come expecting anything. You see, in Acts 1, as we talked about Ascension Sunday last week, we read from Acts 1, and Jesus instructs the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Spirit, to have this sense of expectancy. And this expectancy created a thin place. So maybe purposefully and willingly placing ourselves in a thin place with a faithful expectancy that God will do something, sometime, maybe not on our time, but sometime, that we will open ourselves to being hit over the head with the touch of God's grace. But I'm also certain that not just physical places are thin places, but rituals, practices can also be thin places where we can more fully know God's abiding Spirit. And so I can't help but wonder if these early believers who were waiting there on Pentecost, if they hadn't participated in some sort of rituals, some spiritual practices. Because before Pentecost was a Christian holy day, it was a Jewish holy day. That's why so many Jews were in town from all over, because it was a special holy day. In Hebrew, it's called Shavuot. In English, it's called the Feast of Weeks. In Greek, it's Pentecost. But it's a holiday when we give thanks for the gift of the wheat harvest. And part of the ritual was to bring the first fruits to God in the temple, also a thin place, to give thanks. But it is also, Pentecost is also a time to give thanks for the giving of the Torah, the law, which had been given on a mountain, also a thin place. But although the book of Acts does not tell us explicitly that the disciples had participated in any of these rituals related to Pentecost, I think it's a strong possibility. I mean, they were Jewish. They were in Jerusalem. And I know from my own experience, I know that ritual has a way of removing distractions to bring us into the ever-abiding presence of the Spirit. I still remember our first Sunday here. I was kind of sitting back behind where Kevin and Carol sit. Sandra and I were here. And I still remember the first time I heard our welcome statement. No matter where you come from, no matter where you're going, no matter what you believe or doubt, no matter what you're feeling or just not feeling, and no matter what you have or don't have, and no matter whom you love, you're welcome here. Talk about creating a thin space. Now, often we think of rituals as becoming old and tired, but this ritual of hearing or saying this welcome statement each week as we gather for worship, it continues to be a thin place for me that removes distractions for me to experience God's Spirit. So maybe the combination of being in a literal thin place of Jerusalem, combined with both thin place practices and rituals, and the expectancy that God would be with them, that God would hit them over the head as they had been hit over the head with Jesus by that 2x4 of faith, they were able to allow the Holy Spirit to fill them. But one other important thing that I think made that time and place for them a thin place, that opened them up to being hit again by the presence of God and the Spirit, was the fact that they were all there together. It's one thing to be in a place with a lot of different people. It's another thing to be together with a lot of different people. Togetherness is a real thin place. A place to experience the Spirit of God in Christ in a profound way. Now, for those of you who were at the camping trip a couple of weeks ago, I apologize you heard this story then. But I want to share a personal story of a thin place and time for me. I'd not been serving on church staff for very long. And at that point, at that church I was serving, my main task was to oversee the young adult and college age ministries. Our custom was to meet each Sunday night at 8 p.m. We'd do about an hour's worth of Bible study, and then we'd go somewhere to eat, usually at Chili's. And I don't remember what we discussed that particular night that comes to my mind so vividly, even today. But I do remember vividly sitting at that table. And I kid you not, it was almost like an out-of-body experience where it felt like I zoomed out for a moment. It was like I was a fly on the wall and I could see what was happening. And over here were two people who had just met that night, who were getting to know each other, but were acting like old friends. Over here, there was a young lady telling her friend of some of the difficulties she'd been facing, and the friend was helping her and comforting her through that time. Over here were just some friends who were catching up on what had happened in the week. And over here were a couple of people that I knew didn't get along very well, and they were making the best of the situation. They were talking. They were being friendly with one another. In that moment, I experienced the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in Christ in a way that I had never felt before. But I think it took a combination of both sharing in the spiritual practices of study, of sharing in the meal, of willingly being together for that to happen. And so I'm convinced that we have to continually place ourselves in places and in practices to even place our hearts, our souls, and minds in non-distracted states so that we can say, Lord, hit me with another. Hit me like you hit the disciples 2,000 years ago. And we have to put ourselves in these thin places, even and especially when we are not feeling it. We have to continually be expectant that God can do a new thing or can do an old thing in a new way. And in a few moments, you'll be invited into the thin place of Holy Communion, a practice meant to bring us into togetherness, a practice meant to help us to experience anew the Holy Spirit, the abiding presence of God and of Christ with us. That spirit that we can never fully escape, but that we can certainly ignore and overlook. The practice of communion is something that we should do, even and especially when we are not feeling it. For it may be in the receiving of these gifts that we feel the spirit that we cannot lose. This gift of communion is open to all, so that all may be filled with the Holy Spirit, just as the disciples were filled 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, just as the psalmist of Psalm 139 experienced long before that. All are to be invited to this holy meal. I mean, who are we to stand in the way of sharing God's grace with somebody? But as you come today to this ritual, come with expectancy of being filled with the ever-present Holy Spirit. As you come to this ritual today, come for togetherness with each other so that we might know the Spirit is here in our presence. And as you come to this ritual, come asking, Lord, please, hit me with another. Thanks be to God.